hear these words from Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. And now jumping over to Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Would you pray with me? Father God, the one who came down from heaven and walked amongst the people of Babel, reminding them who they were called to be and what they were called to do. We invite you to walk among us this day and renew in our hearts a calling to who you would have us to be, what you would have us to do. The God who engaged Abram and gave this man from no significant place and no significant people a calling that would be significant for all the nations, for all the days to come. Would you open our ears and our hearts to hear as you call us just the same? You are welcome in this place, O God. Would you have your way among us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to share four different stories with you all. First is the story of an ancient people in an ancient place called Babel. It's a people who we find on the move, people migrating, seeking a new home. And you know, migrating is a hard way of life. I did it last year for just 3 days. I don't want to do it again for a long time. This routinely packing up and unpacking your belongings, this hanging out in unknown territory, having to ask for directions everywhere you go. It's a life of little control, a life of little comfort. You're always the visitor, never the resident. Always the mysterious passer-through, never the one who is truly known, who belongs. Just a quick side note that is not the sermon today, but something that has to be mentioned. In this story of Scripture that we're going to walk through all summer, we will begin to see that it is a story that is jam-packed with immigrants. From the very first pages of Genesis to Jesus in his infancy fleeing with his parents from Israel into Egypt to find a place of safety in a time of turmoil. And this story, if it truly is our story, then it turns out that we're all kind of immigrants, literally, geographically, and spiritually speaking. Just a quick note, not to forget that. And our Facebook post and the way we treat immigrants in our own community these days. But that's for another sermon altogether. Just couldn't pass up the chance. As they're migrating, they come across this perfectly good plot of land. and they decide to settle down for a little while. They get a plan and how they're going to make this place their home, and even more, how they're going to make a name for themselves right then and right there, how they're going to be known. They begin to talk amongst themselves. They say, come, let us make bricks. Come, let us build for ourselves a city. Come, let us make a tower to the heavens. Let's make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered to the ends of the earth. You know, this ancient story really isn't all that odd when we look at it. Turns out that humans have always had this deep need for security. And this like-minded people settling in the shadows of this massive tower that goes to the heavens would surely tell the world that they are a capable and a powerful people that might keep them safe for a little while. Likewise, humans have always had this need for identity. Started way back here in Genesis 11, a people trying to decide together what their lives are for. They say, let's build this thing that no one has ever seen before. Let's make ourselves known. Let's be known as this land of great innovators, of achievers, of heaven reachers. Let's make ourselves worth something. And with that, they'd fulfill their need for identity. They'd feel worthy of admiration, of respect. Humans have always had this need to belong, to know exactly where they're from and where they can return to. They say to themselves, let's build this tower so we won't be scattered. So no matter how far away we happen to roam, we can always look up and find our way back home. Let's build this tower so we'll never have to doubt who our people are, where we are welcomed and loved. These ancient people of Babel, they don't really seem all that different when we look at them closely. Heck, if I put myself in their shoes, I find myself right there building the bricks with the best of them. For one, because I like to climb really tall things and get a new perspective on things. But more than that, because I long for security and identity and belonging just as much as the next person. I get it. But unfortunately, if we get it or not, there were some problems in Babel. The people find that where they want to be and what they decide that they want to do and what they want to get busy doing, all on their own, without any conversation with their God. Genesis 11 starts off and the people just start talking. They say, come, let us stay here. Come, let us build. Come, let us be known. They're planning and they're plotting amongst themselves. They're getting busy doing and working and making plans, all to make a name for themselves, it says. And in so doing, in all this toil, it turns out they have forgotten the one command that God had given from the very, very beginning. We saw it in Genesis 1 a few weeks ago. We see it in Genesis 9 as we read the story of Noah. God had told his people more than once, this I tell you, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. In other words, God hadn't said a lot to his people yet, but he had told them plain and clear, my people, don't be the type of people who just settle in and settle down, who become content with your own little blessings from God, who become overly happy with your own two kids and your dog and your white picket fence, or with your beautiful tower that reaches to heaven. Don't be those kind of people. You're called to be a people on the move, a people who are about the work of spreading God's name and spreading God's kingdom to the ends of the earth. You're called to be a people who are blessed, so you may be a blessing to others. In their pursuit to make a name for themselves, these people of Babel for a moment lost sight of their true calling. Their calling to be a people making known the name of their God. And so the Lord God comes to Babel. He confuses their language. Ever tried a building project with people that can't communicate? Doesn't work. Messes up their plans and sends them on their way. The end of the first story. Then there's a story of a 21st century American. From early childhood, he learns that his value is found in what he achieves. Parents compare notes on whose child walked and talked first, even on whose child was potty trained the quickest. The competition begins immediately, and it goes on from there. At the end of any given school year, children receive awards based on who achieved what. The best reader, who had perfect attendance, who was the science fair champion. And with each award earned or denied, the child begins to formulate this name for himself. Little bitty kids, they're asked what they want to be when they grow up. And with that question, they begin to hear from a young age that their profession, what they do, will be the thing that makes a name for them. Schools, they've got mascots and teams, and they ingrain in youth this sense of belonging and identity. You are a bulldog. You're not a climber. Your name tells you who your people are and who your people aren't. As kids grow up, and it turns out that not all that much changes. They become adults who begin to work their tails off to make a name for themselves professionally, still buying into this thing that they heard as a child that said the totality of my identity and worth rest on what I do, what I achieve. And so they begin to spend 70-hour weeks trying to please supervisors and clients, completely lost on the inside, but quite sure that any day now, this work will build them a nice tower, and they will have made a nice name for themselves. Or their identity, their name, could be found in their family, could be found in being known as so-and-so's spouse, or even more, as so-and-so's parent. And all of a sudden, there's a great amount of pressure put on the other, especially on the children, to live up to this name they didn't ask to inherit in the first place. And when our identity, our security, our name is projected onto others, boy, are we ever building a rickety tower. Always just one loose brick away from absolutely crumbling to pieces, because we're building a tower held up by a people that we cannot control. Finding a name in what we do, finding a name in what we achieve and the people around us, even finding a name in the nation that claims us. These are just some of the towers that Americans lean on for security, belonging, and identity. And all of these little towers that we build all over the place, they can be the very things that tempt us to stay in one place, that tempt us to be a people who hoard our blessings for ourselves in order to make our names great, to be a people who give our full selves over to careers at the neglect of family and faith, at least for just this season. Or to be a people who give ourselves fully over to our family at the neglect of our neighbors, at least just until the kids are grown. Or to be a people who give ourselves fully over to our own country, staying right here at the neglect of the nations, at least until their way of life doesn't so threaten our own. You see, these things, these towers, they keep us from scattering. They keep us from being a people who look beyond ourselves, who look beyond our very own self-made plans for success and security. They keep us from being a people who ask what our God really wants, what it is that God has really said we are, who we're called to be. That keep us from asking what God has really asked us to do, where He's really asked us to go, who He has really asked us to love. These things, they take our blessings from God, be it a job or a family or a home. These are all indeed blessings from God. But they distort them as they use them to make ourselves as blessed as we can be, building our tower higher and higher and higher, and forgetting that blessings have always been given by God in order to be shared, in order to go out and to bless. What's in a name? For most Americans, even for most Christian Americans, not much more than the work they do, the people they associate with, the things they've achieved and the clubs that they've joined along the way, the kinds of things that are here and gone just as soon as we breathe our last breath. These are the things that crumble like a tower when the earth begins to shake. Take heart, my friends. We're looking at corruption and covenant. And it turns out there's another way to find your name. The third story, story of an ancient man named Abram, soon to be known as Abraham. The Lord says to him, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." He says to Abram, "Go from all those things that have given you a good name up until now, and know that there's something else. Go from those places that have offered security and belonging and identity. Go and let me, Abram, begin to write your story. Let me choose your name." And you say, well, good for Abram because he had a whole life to live. My friends, he was already 75. No excuses. Unless you're 95, maybe I'll give you a pass. He says, go. The Lord says, go, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will give you a great name. And he says, and guess what? That name, that great name, it's not going to be based on what you do 40 hours a week or what you achieve along the way. But that great name will be based on the God who is with you, on the God who sent you. He says, go. Go and live in my blessing so that all the people of the earth will be blessed. I've not created you for towers, Abram. Not created you for towers that boast of how great you are. He says, I have created you for my mission, for my name. And so go from all those things that tempt you to create your own name and receive my blessing. Go from those that tempt you to hoard, to keep it to yourself. Go from that. Go and be a blessing. Go and be fruitful. And see to it that in your going, that in your receiving, and in your sharing, that our world is blessed too. And with that, it says Abram went, just like that. 75 years old, leave your family, leave your home, leave it all. And Abram went. He didn't even ask any questions. Didn't hesitate in the least. Just as some folks were standing in the shadows of Babel, watching all that they had done to make a name for themselves crumble before their eyes, their hoarded blessings right along with it, Abram hears the voice of his God, listens to God's heart, receives God's promise that his purpose and identity are far greater than any job or family or nationality, and he went. He goes. Giving a shot at living into this real name, this divine calling. And you know, he had a choice. Abraham could just as easily have stayed right where he was, right where he knew the lay of the land, where he had a solid place in his family line, where he had good job security to carry him through retirement. But for the sake of God's name, he went. He went away from those blessings that weren't being shared, and he stepped into a life with God, believing there just might be greater blessings in God's name for him, and they would be the kind of blessings that were so good that they simply had to be shared with others. And so we see God's promise to Abraham fulfilled. I will make of you a great name, a great kingdom. I will bless you. And we still see his promise being fulfilled. As here in 2016, the sons and daughters of Abraham across the earth continue to make known God's name and God's fame. Isn't it amazing? The life and the legacy that follows those who let God do the naming and the calling in their lives. The life and the legacy that follows those who receive God's blessing, and rather than use them to make themselves even better, those who immediately give them away so others might be blessed. The life and the legacies that last, that matter. Finally, then, the story of a Christian, say a modern-day Christian. This is a story that we're invited to tell as we go from this place. It's a story of a people who wake up each day. And rather than saying, come, let's do this and this and this, and filling up all of their waking hours before they even step out of bed, instead slow down a bit and listen for the voice of their Father, daring to ask that question, God, where would you have me to go? What would you have me to do for your name and for your fame today? I'm your vessel. You tell me where to come and where to go. It's a story of a people who work hard, not because they're anxiously striving to prove that they're worth something, but because there's something deep in their hearts that says work is a gift, even a blessing from God. And the people in their path because of work are an opportunity to be scattered and to share the blessings of God each and every day. It's a story of a people who love their families and are devoted to them because family is a blessing. You might say, well, mine's a curse. Family is a blessing. It's a people who are able to love and be devoted to their families without the anxiety that pressures them to live up to our expectations that aren't from God at all. It's a people at peace with their identity in God, grateful for their blessings from Him, and so able to express and to bless their loved ones with the freedom to find their own peace in God as well, to be the unique child that He's created them to be. In the same token, it's a story of a people who aren't so enmeshed in and so consumed by their families that they forget to scatter, that they forget to look beyond their four walls and offer the blessings of God to others. Family is a blessing, but it's not it, my friends. We're called to be scattered. It's a people refusing to let their gifts from God become the very things they use to hoard and make a name for themselves, but a people always remembering that they are indeed blessed in order to go and to bless. This other story is a story of a people whose identity isn't found primarily in a nation, who, like Abram, could hear God's call to leave their borders and in an instant would get up and follow because they know in their hearts that no place on this earth is our home anyway. A people knowing that their true identity has no flag attached to it. And with that is a story of a people who have this unshakable sense of peace and hope and love, even in political seasons, even in the face of threats, even in a world that does all it can to make us choose sides and live into these lies that say it's us versus them, so we better make us really great, keeping our blessings to ourselves. It's a people who are not buying that. It's a story of a people learning to pray for God to bless America and every other nation too. A people learning to pray for our leaders and for our enemies. A people learning to seek the good of our own neighbors and of those roaming the earth even now, wondering who in the world is going to be their neighbor. The story of a people figuring out what it means every single day to use our blessings not to build towers and make our name great, but to bless others so that God's name will be made great through us and among us. The story of a people whose identities are not found so much in what they've achieved in the plaques on their walls or the bullet points on their resumes. But it's a story of a people coming alive to those names that God has had for them from the very beginning of time throughout our story. These are names that sound to something like children of God, ambassadors of a holy kingdom, priests and prophets, salt of the earth, light of the world, hands and feet of Jesus Christ Himself, a city on a hill, Those are the names that come from the voice of our God. And these names, they all tell us that our real name is found in hearing Him and turning outward and letting God be the one who directs exactly who it is that we will love, who it is that we will serve, where it is that we will stay, and where it is that we will go. All of these names that we hear through Scripture, the names for us, they are names that focus beyond ourselves. They're names for a blessed people who get this amazing invitation to spend their lives blessing others by making God great and not themselves. These names, they belong to the ones who receive the blessings of God and immediately share them until they reach the multitudes, never using God's gifts just to make their own impressive towers, never using God to boast in themselves. The fourth story. So I asked this morning, what's our story? More than that, what's your name? Not the name that your parents gave you, but what's the name that defines who you really are? What's the name that tells us what your life is all about? What's the name that reveals what your toil and your efforts are amounting to? What's the name that your friends, your relatives, your acquaintances would use to describe you if they were asked? What's your name? And where did that name, or do those names, come from? Are they a sign of your own ambition? A sign of your own will? Of your own determination? You need to get up and say, come on, let's do this and this and this, and ask God to bless it later. Or are they names that point to the Father God who created you in order to bless you so that you might be a blessing to all of His people, far and wide? What's the name? Where did it come from? What does it point to? And I asked this morning, what are the greatest blessings in your life? Just name them in your heart and your mind. Your greatest blessings, what are they? And what are you doing with them? Are you using those to make your name even greater? To build a nice, secure tower that'll keep you in place, that'll turn the spotlight on you? Or are you sharing them and making great the name of our God because of them? What are your greatest blessings? What are you doing with them? My friends, I guarantee you, there's a name that is stirring inside of each and every one of us. Unique to each of us, but stirring in each of us nonetheless. And it's a name that invites you to look outward, invites you to see others as God sees them, and to be a scattered people as we live our lives among them. It's a name that leads you to take risk bigger than you've ever taken before. It's a name that leads you to love folks that you have never considered loving before. It's a name that encourages you to go to some places that you have never much wanted to go before. As you begin to hear whispers of that name that's stirring up inside of you, pay attention, my friends, because that's the name that lasts. That's the name that offers life and blessing to all. That's the name given to you from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the name from our God Himself. My friends, listen for that name. I ask again, who has God called you to be? And who does our God desire to bless through you? And how might our God want to do that even today? when God looks at your life, what potential does He see that maybe no one else even notices? What does our God long for you to know He calls you when it's just you and Him having a heart-to-heart conversation? I bet it's got nothing to do with how you spend 40 hours of your week. But it's a different name altogether. What's stirring in your heart? What do you have a hunch is God's name for you? It'll be the name that pulls you away from the temptation to spend a life making your own name great. And it'll be a name that draws you to others into a life that makes God's name great through you. As you begin to hear this name, as you begin to follow, might your name become a blessing. Might your legacy be everlasting. And might your life go forth and make great the name of our God to the ends of the earth in your lifetime and forevermore. You say that's impossible. Well, it was so for Abraham, and he's real, sent by a real God. And so may it be so for us, because His God is our God, and His story is our story. So we ask this morning, what's really in a name? Well, that's up to us. It could be a lot. It could change the world for God's name and God's fame. May that be our name. Would you pray with me? Father God, the ways that we toil in this world to build a name for ourselves, to create our own sense of identity and belonging and security. Father, forgive us where we haven't trusted You to do the naming, where we haven't listened for Your voice to do the calling. Forgive us. And Father, today, let us start anew. Open ears and open hearts, would You whisper into each of us what that name is that You have for us. The name that goes out and blesses this world in Your name. Father, would You open our eyes to the many blessings that You've given us? And rather than scoop them up and pile them high and take a step back and just gaze upon them, would You help us begin to frantically spread them out? Because we live in a world in need of some blessings. We live in a world in need of a good dose of Your peace and Your love and Your hope. Thank You for blessing us. Thank You that one of our greatest blessings is that we get to be a blessing. As we learn our name, as we live into it, help us be a blessing this day and all of our days. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.